meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. I pulled a whole peanut out of the gap in my tooth now.
Ooh.
Yeah, you see, I got my...
Back to dentist. Here we go.
No. You know I don't sweat the details when I'm not sure if I had one tooth pulled or two.
Right.
The space looks big enough for two.
But you just pulled a half Baby Ruth core out of that space, right?
It was a whole Baby Ruth.
I see.
No. So what happens now is I got this big hole in the side of my mouth and where the teeth used to be. And I'm fine with that. I like it. As I told you before.
Store food there, right?
Yeah, for the winter.
Sure. Get a taste of something all day long.
Smuggle heroin into the country. It's great. The thing, like I said, it was funny. The dentist, when he decided the tooth couldn't be saved, he was practically crying, you know, shaking his head like he was a failure, like I was losing an arm, and I was like a good riddance.
Hey, but the failure was what's been going on the last couple of years. Why didn't you bring this up 2 years ago?
Yeah. Yes, if you decided to fail and take the tooth 2 years ago, I wouldn't have had to have three root canals and $3,000 sunk into that crappy hole. Get rid of it. This tooth, to me, was a lot like I imagine I was to my stepmother in 1983. Time to go.
Yeah.
Time to go in a big way.
Yeah.
Except for the tooth wasn't taking a crap in a decorative popcorn can. Other than that...
Same.
Exactly. True. Literally. Literally. Literally the same. Literally. Literally. All right, so now...
Don't you love guys that do that?
Yes. Misuse the literally.
literally.
I was so scared. I literally jumped out of my skin. Literally. Well, wait a minute.
No, they want to stop you. Look, I came out of my skin.
Out. Literally. Really? With the literally? I don't know about literally. So anyway, I got this big hole in here, right?
Yeah.
Now, you can't see it, right, Drew?
No.
And it's easy for flossing.
Oh, now they want to get into the cosmetics.
I can floss with an anchor chain now.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they're like, well, all we got to do is real easy. And by the way, if there's any dentist listening, don't speak technically about what's going on in the guy's mouth like you're retrofitting the guy's apartment building for earthquake rehab work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because
right.
It's your mouth. You're picturing your mouth the whole time. They're what we do is we take a drill bit and we drill into the bone.
Yeah.
Then we take a small tap and we thread the bone. Okay. Then we take the tap and put the plate. And I'm like, wait a minute. Are we talking about foundation work or is this still in my mouth?
Yeah.
Then we take a very small titanium post and we anchor that into the bone.
People don't realize.
And I'm like, It's like, why don't you just say, then we take your nuts and we put it in a bench vise.
People don't realize how much surgical procedures. There's a good bit of carpentry of how it appears. I mean, orthopedics, it's big mallets, hammers.
You're hurting me.
That's it.
You're hurting my teeth.
Hammering stuff.
No, it hurt my balls and my hip joint now. I know. When they replace knees and stuff, that is crazy.
But you know what? Even neurosurgeons, these huge drills and stuff.
But here's what I'm asking you, Drew.
All right.
As a doctor,
yeah.
I got this big hole in my mouth and I'm starting to get used to it.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Right.
Except for the part... where it somehow catches everything. I throw a couple of aspirin in my mouth, swallow what I think are both of them, and then 5 minutes later I'm wondering what this thing is, and the second aspirin pops out of the hole.
Ooh.
It collects it. Mm. You see that?
Ugh.
Is that two teeth?
Mm, yeah.
You think two?
I think so.
Good enough. So anyway, now they want to put new teeth in there.
One's behind it don't look so hot either. You know what I'm saying? Well, you're going to need a little, you're going to be like Uncle Joe with the big bridge that he pulls out of his mouth.
No. They're putting a post in.
They're going to do it.
No, but here's what I'm saying now.
Leave it alone.
F them and their post. Another 3 days in the chair, another 10 trips back to the place, more gluing, more drilling, more stuff to screw up.
No.
And then they stuff it in there, and what happens? One more thing to floss around. Screw it. Nobody can see it. I get in a bar fight, it's one less tooth to get knocked out.
It doesn't affect your chewing or anything?
I'm used to it. It's been 2 months. I'm over it now. Yeah. By the time they get the post all worked out, screw them. Now, here's what they do, though. They like to give these horror stories. They're like, the teeth will start moving. And I don't know. Moving? Really? Moving, I'm almost dead.
Well, let me see. You could use a little more.
Yeah, I could use a little more. I got a little overlap in the front. So let them breathe a little. Yeah. Get some floss in there.
I think their point is they can't do the procedure later.
Why not?
It's an hour and,
why not? Mm. Whatever the gap is down the road, that's what the gap is.
Fair enough.
All right, I'm going to give it to him, Drew, and I'm going to need a note from you.
Saying?
Drew says it's all right for Adam. For you guys just
have
to
that
part,
huge gap
part ways.
Mouth.
I don't mind a couple teeth missing.
At times.
It's every great athlete, every great hockey player.
Every great hockey player certainly has.
Many great football greats have had teeth. It's a manly thing.
Mine's falling out piece by piece, and I just go with it.
You're losing pieces?
I just keep losing pieces, yeah.
That's a bad thing.
Hey, Jerry?
Yeah.
All right. What's up?
Okay. I've known this girl for about 3 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I let her drive my car. Now, she's only 14, and she got pulled over. And she got a ticket, and anyway, she's not living with her parents because she's from Oregon. And she came down here to live because I guess the parents are abusive or something. And so when Adam's happening, it is now the guardian's real pissed at me.
Because you let her drive your car?
Yeah.
What kind of car do you have?
A Dodge Neon.
Neon.
Sweet.
Yeah. It gets me places.
Oh, and Denver, too. It can really work that snow.
Yeah, that's a great... It's transportation. It gets you from point A to point not getting laid and back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I had to let her drive it.
What's the question here?
Anyway, he's real mad at me. He's banned me from going over to their house.
What's the question?
Is there like a way I could get in good with him now? Or
have you tried to meet him and get to know him a little bit?
Well, I was talking to her today, and she said that would probably just hurt things more.
Not necessarily. I mean, she's someone undoubtedly likes a good bit of drama, right? And so the advice she's going to give you is going to add, put fuel to the flames. I think trying to de-escalate things by going, meeting him, talking to him, apologizing, being contrite, you know what that word means?
Yeah.
Like,
I do. I don't know what it means. Nice, sweet.
I just get it there.
All right.
Yeah, I've written a letter actually, but I was gonna send it to him. But
no, go see him.
How about letting a little time pass?
That's okay too, but he's not gonna be able to see her in the meantime. You know what I mean? This guy's really pissed, and
yeah, but you can't. Oh, there's no school or anything. Then she doesn't get out of the house. You can't meet her somewhere.
I think they're grounded now.
All right, I still say. Let it cool off a little.
And by the way, this girl is going to be a hell of a handful for him.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah. Abusive parents, under custody of a guardian, moved out of the area. Oh, boy.
People have no real grasp on what that is.
No, well, not at that. At 16.
No.
Could I have convinced you what that meant?
No.
No. Even now, it's hard for people. When you see a person who seems nice, looks nice, people see what they want to see in someone.
I tell you, I was at a maximum security prison 3 weeks ago, wanting to smuggle these guys out of here in my rectum.
Right.
It's like, hey, this sweetheart of a guy is playing the guitar, wearing some nice reading glasses. Seems nice. Yeah.
Three people.
whatever the folks did in there, they weren't getting out, and they weren't getting out ever. That was the point.
I was thinking about something today, about how you nail people's jobs so clearly.
Yes.
I don't know what brought it up, but I thought, I wonder if there are sort of features, sort of constitutional, biological, psychological features that, attract us to certain jobs or let us tolerate certain jobs?
Well, yeah.
I mean, how do you pick up forklift driver?
That's just stupid. There's a lot of jobs that fall into the stupid category.
But people in every one of the, whatever the job is, there must be kind of a field, a character to that person in that job. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Certain people would not be a forklift operator.
No.
But who would be?
I don't know, but I'll tell you when I talk to them.
Why?
I don't know how I know that, but I mean, I'm not right all the time. I just get a vibe every once in a while. Once in a while, I catch a guy who's working in a batting cage or something. It's like a crazy vibe that goes through
me. But to me, that means there's a pattern there. And what is that?
My genius is what it is.
Aside from your genius,
you should study.
Identifying.
Study
it.
My
I've studied
genius.
Your genius for many years. I can't quite climb to those
you're
heights.
You're not looking hard enough. That's right.
I can't climb to those heights, so I have to make more mundane observations of my own.
I don't know. I can always tell, you know, you can tell when you're talking to cops because they sort of sound like criminals. And there's certain jobs where you just sort of tell who you're talking to. Wendy?
Yeah.
You're 26?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, you work around computers.
I do. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I knew there was a computer somewhere
Adam,
in your office.
Cubicle, yes or no?
Yeah. Cubicle. Cubicle, and I predict there's a phone somewhere where you work. Yes?
Well, I'm trying to move around, so I'm trying to so you don't get interference.
Yes, yes.
I mean, she's at work, I guess.
No, I mean, she has no idea what I'm talking
right,
about.
Okay. All right, Wendy, what's going on?
Okay, well, my husband, 2 years ago, had an affair in September on Labor Day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly after that, like a month or so, I got pregnant.
I got to stop you just for 1 second. Is there something significant about it having been Labor Day weekend?
Well, no, I just remember things.
Yeah. It's interesting, she said, in the fall, in September, on Labor Day weekend. As though there's really something about that. Were you planning something else with him or something, and he screwed it up? Or
no, I just remember dates very well.
All right. Okay. And so you got pregnant?
Yeah, like later on that month or something like that.
And you already knew he had cheated at that point?
Yes, I did.
All right.
And everything was going great, you know, and I was having problems with the pregnancy, and all of a sudden, after just last April, my husband started getting signs, you know, like pains in his kidneys and stuff like this. And I was like, well, maybe he had a kidney infection. So I took him into the hospital or to the clinic, and they said that he had chlamydia.
Nice.
And they said, well, you got it too. And I said, well, when I asked my husband, I was like, well, when was your last affair?
Mm-mm.
He said, well, the last time I had one was the last one that I know about.
Well, of course.
I was like, well, I was tested for everything. When I got pregnant, my doctor tested me for everything. So I wouldn't have any sexually transmitted diseases. And he's like, no, I swear.
But all right, well, hold on a second. Okay. How did you bust him for having the affair in the first place?
Well, my sister-in-law found out because her husband works with a friend of his. And he was borrowing his car. My husband was borrowing his car. And when my brother-in-law says, well, do you need a ride to work? And he said, yeah. And he says, well, why? And he says, because Guy and Sarah took off to work.
Okay.
Or took off to the motel.
To the motel. And so this was someone, did he work with this girl?
Yes, he did.
And did this go on for some time?
He says about 3 months after he started. He only worked there 7 months.
Wait, how did you get busted? Somebody came forward and said you should know this going on?
Their brother-in-law.
Well, I called my sister to see if she heard from him, because I haven't heard from him like all night.
Said, I don't want to get caught. What?
He was out all night one night, and he called around. She called around, and somebody squealed.
Yeah.
Oh, he wasn't supposed to be somewhere else? He was supposed to be home?
Well, he says, well, I'm leaving you one night. That night, he says, I'm just leaving you.
Wendy, Wendy, you cannot track her. She's
what's right. wrong with you, baby?
Nothing.
Did you get hit in the head when you were young?
No.
Okay. So, I don't know.
All right, the fact is, the guy
said he was going to leave. Cheated.
The guy's brazen. He got busted only and took very few measures to try to hide what he was doing, but then got busted.
Right.
And he's a liar.
What about the chlamydia thing, though?
So he could easily be lying. Easily.
Well, what about it? If she had, would the chlamydia have showed up when they were testing her for God knows what when she was pregnant?
It really should have.
It should have.
Yeah.
So according to your math, and what Wendy is saying is, okay, so she slept with him a month after he had the affair and ended the affair.
Right.
Then got pregnant, got tested for everything, and now, sometime later, has chlamydia. One can do the math and say, well, maybe this guy had a second affair.
Yeah. Or maybe they're using, you got to really be sure that they're documenting chlamydia here.
This guy's an idiot anyway. You slice it, though, whether he gave you the chlamydia now or if you got it from a beanbag.
Right.
What's up? What's this guy do?
Metal?
He works at a fast food, or not fast food. He works at a grocery store.
All right.
As an assistant manager.
All right. All right. How's the relationship going?
Well, it's kind of rocky because I have a tendency not to let things go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about, do you have any kids?
We have three.
Oh, God. That's enough, goofball.
You didn't tell me about it.
Yes, that's, stop it.
That's why he says that's why the affair happened, is because I kept telling him after I had my second kid, I didn't want no more. And he kept saying, oh, well, I'm not going to get fixed. And I was like, well, you're going to get fixed. And he kept telling me no. And so he wanted another kid, and I guess by having this affair, it produced another one, except with me. And I didn't want it. That's why I had problems with my pregnancy.
Okay, hold on. Oh, boy. By screwing another woman, Wendy got pregnant? That's her logic.
Well,
by having an affair with a woman, he had another kid. Oh, but it was with me.
Well, no, wait a minute, Drew. To be fair to Wendy, some guys have a very powerful ejaculate.
Really?
I don't mean the actual semen. I mean the force in which it leaves the penis.
It just
and if
through.
He did it with sufficient enough volume and energy, it could have actually shot out of the ass of the woman he was having the affair with.
Yes.
Got caught in the jet stream.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And made its way into Wendy's vagina.
Just coincidentally to her, his wife, his own wife.
Stranger things have happened.
Oh, God.
And who knows how many people he got pregnant when it was up in the jet stream.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, you hear that? Listen, all I can, here's all I can think of over and over and
four
over
kids,
and over
four
and
kids,
over
four
and over.
Kids,
yes,
four
all,
kids,
all,
four kids.
All I can think of is if Wendy was watching my dog for the weekend,
no way.
I would be nervous.
Hamster.
Very nervous. I would put like a nanny cam in the house, yes, to make sure the dog wasn't being fed Captain Crunch and sold off to make a German porn.
Yeah.
I would be very, very nervous about that. And she's got three or four kids. All right, stop with the kids. That's number one. Number two, I don't know, find Jesus or do something.
Your husband's an idiot. And maybe some couples therapy. But
couples therapy. There you go.
A few sessions.
There you go.
Trying to straighten him out.
There you go.
I mean, if he is as unenlightened,
yeah,
as Wendy is, he needs like a, you know, somebody just guiding him.
Right.
You know, like a seeing eye dog.
Yeah. Well, that's where Jesus comes in. Lucas?
Okay.
Well, look, this Jesus is sort of last resort for retards, really. I mean, stupid people need that guidance, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he would be a good recipient. Lucas, you're 14. What's up?
Okay. My mom's been taking these pills, and I'm really worried about her.
What pills?
She takes just, like, sleeping pills, and she's been taking, she tells me she's taking Valium.
You've been doing this for a long time?
She has, but I've just been recently noticing she's been getting really stoned and stuff off of it for the past, like, couple weeks.
Does she become unconscious?
No, not really. She just kind of, like...
Where's your dad?
What?
Where's your dad?
I never know him.
Is she doing this during the day?
She gets home from work and she does it. I tell her she should just do it when she just goes to bed, so she doesn't have
You didn't call recently and tell us the same story?
Huh.
No. Remember the story?
Yeah. I thought it was that day. Drew, why'd you screw with me? This is why, see, I wear the same clothes every day, so when I just sort of look down,
tell.
I'm not sure what day it is.
I remember the kid called and said she gets home from work. She says she's stressed, takes a fistful of Valium and Soma.
Right.
And sort of goes out.
Right. And I was telling him, also, leave her alone to get the hell out of the house.
Yeah.
Lucas?
Yeah.
Well, we'll give the same advice to you as we gave to the other kid, which is talk to your mom and tell her this is
it's bothering
you, and if she could explain it to you. She might explain it, and it might make it better.
No.
No, I just mean we're getting Lucas's version of the story.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, it would be marginally better.
Maybe.
If she explained it, and see if she can't take these pills later on in the evening. When you're safely in your room beating off.
Or not.
like Lucas and chimes in with you.
Yeah.
Or not at all. Maybe she'd take a nap. And if she needs some help, I think one of the things you have a right to do is call social services. You know, you've got a parent, you know, a single 14. Parent. You're out of control. She's out of control.
She's napping. He gets control of the TV.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Don't you wish your parents would have gotten themselves a little bit loaded and just passed out and you just sit there and watch TV and do your homework and go to bed?
Yeah, but you're 14. And he's 14. Obviously very codependent on the mom. And
all right.
It's damaging to him.
Lucas, you got friends?
Yeah.
All right, hang out with them.
Hi.
And talk to your mom. Let her explain it. But if she doesn't explain it well, tell her she's got to get some help.
Yeah. Well, this is addiction.
Well, it could be. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Soma Valium should never be taken together anyway.
Really?
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. Soma, I'm seeing a lot of Soma addiction lately.
I just heard take it together.
You just heard try this.
Yeah, I don't hear the never taken together. I hear taken together.
Okay, I'm drinking a lot of Soma lately, interestingly, and there's a real characteristic withdrawal people get into where they get this tightening up in their back and this arm pain where they feel like they want to twitch the arm and punch things.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they get like a restless limb in their upper extremity.
Hmm.
And they get this agitation where they can't stop moving.
What is Soma?
They're constantly moving. It's a muscle relaxant, but it's actually converted to meprobamate, which is an old-fashioned.
Sure.
Milltown. Ever heard of Milltown?
Sure. Great band from the mids.
Yeah, it's sort of like something.
No, I don't know.
Mickey Finn? No, that was Chloral Hydrate.
All right, let's. All right.
Milltowns were like what came before Valium.
Let's not date ourselves too much. But speaking of dating ourselves, Drew, remember we were talking about that cartoon last night and trying to figure out all the different guys?
You got it?
Well, I got some of it, but Rope Man and Diaper Man.
Yeah.
How about Cuckoo Man?
Like, now I'm getting more confused. You're right.
All right, we gotta get on the computer.
Where's that TV Bible? Right.
Well, we don't.
They're that huge TV. Oh, I'll get it.
All right, we'll be back after this. Hey, everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jack Osborne in here tomorrow night. Jack Osborne from the Osbournes coming back for a second season, I guess. I mean, I think Sharon Osbourne has some form of cancer, and I'm not sure what all the details are.
I know a fair bit about it.
Surrounding that. What do you know?
Colon cancer, stage 3.
What, stage 3 the worst?
Stage 4 is the worst.
Stage 4 is the worst. A lot of stuff goes to 4, a lot of stuff goes to 10, and some stuff goes to 5. I'd just like us to just sort of figure out what number works for us, and let's just call it that.
Listen, hey, we got to keep all the track of this. If there's some cancers that are like 2A, 2B, et cetera, et cetera.
So she has stage 3, which is not the worst, but could be better.
Untreated, about 40% survival.
Untreated?
Untreated.
And did they have to remove some of her colon?
Sure.
Or, and now just hope it hasn't.
It has metastasized. That's the stage 3. It's in the lymph nodes.
Oh.
And now she's getting chemo.
All right. So the prognosis looks like what for her?
50-50.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
50-50? He said... Now, Drew, you like the... You're kind of a doubting Thomas, though. I mean, you like a little bad news. You got a little
like
drama,
a little
queen.
But
yeah, a little drama.
No, we'll look it up on the web, but I believe that's the current numbers. But it's about... Maybe it's... It's 40% survival, right?
Yep.
60% not.
All right.
Without treatment.
Well, we wish her well, and maybe we'll find out more from Jack Osborne.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Robert?
Hello?
You're 14?
Hey, my parents are like sex freaks. They're completely open about sex.
Yeah.
And it's really annoying. It's been like this for like 3 years. And at one point, like, I came home with my friends, and my mom was giving a BJ to my dad.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and, like, now my parents or my friends don't even want to come to my house, and neither do I. And, like, I'm wondering, like, what I could do.
How do you feel about sex now that they've been flaunting this at you?
I don't know. I'm okay with it.
You're okay with it. It hasn't affected your own...
Hey, your friends don't want to come to your house?
Yeah.
You haven't asked what they look like.
Because, like, my mom, like, or at one point...
You know what I'm saying?
I came home with my girlfriend, and, like, my dad knew she was my girlfriend, so he just started talking about sex about it, and he gave me a 12-pack of condoms, like, there in front of my girlfriend.
Oh, boy.
That's a smooth move.
Yeah.
She must have been very impressed. Didn't know your dad was Sir Walter Raleigh. Just didn't understand that. Well, listen, Robert, this is not right. It's unfortunate. It's disrespectful to you. It's poor boundaries.
Do you tell them to cut it out, or can you do that?
Yeah, I do, but then they're like, in a few years you'll be into this, and you won't be embarrassed about it at all.
Are they hippies?
Yeah, they're like somewhere in their 40s, 50s, and yeah, they're hippies.
Uh-huh.
They're like madly in love with each other.
That's nice.
I guess that's nice, though. Do they take care of you? Are they good parents?
Yeah, they're good parents, except for that.
Well, here's what I have to say about that, Robert. Every parent has some sort of fundamental flaw, I figured out. And for some, it gets their kids killed.
Huh.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's some flaws that involve, like, sodomy. And then there's some flaws that involve parents being inappropriate. They're hot for each other. But you know what? They provide. They put food on the table. They send you to school. They probably make a decent living. They love you. They take care of you. This is a little weird.
No, I would disagree with you.
Why?
I think, yes, we should give them a nod for at least being responsible, but they're not being good parents.
Well,
and their own crap is, here's why they're not good parents. Their crap is taking precedent over anything they're concerned with as far as their kid goes.
Yeah.
And that's bad parenting.
Yeah.
Parenting is about kids come first, period. That's it. End of story.
Yeah, but, Drew, their crap is them having sexual relations on occasion where the kid stumbles into it. I don't think they're getting it on the, you know, in the driveway when the kid pulls up. I mean, they probably get it on a lot, and the kid probably comes home and busts them every once in a while. I don't think they're getting it on in front of the TV set with the dad's ass blocking the set. Robert?
You there?
Yeah.
Wow, was that quiet. Are they, are they doing it with the door open in the bedroom kind of thing?
No, not really, but, like, I've walked in on them 2 times.
Yeah.
And, like, I just walked away and they...
Yeah, but when you walked in on them, where were they when you walked in on them?
In their bedroom.
And the door was closed?
Yeah. I was going to ask my mom a question.
All right, but that's what I'm saying, Drew. If they're in their bedroom and the door's closed and you walk in, I mean, it's not like they're doing it intentionally to be seen by you. They may not care if you see them, and that's a little bit weird. And the condoms thing's a little bit weird. But the door is closed. I mean, now you know to knock, right?
Uh-huh.
All right. Wait, does your dad make a decent living?
Yeah. We live in, like, a two-story townhouse.
Okay. I'm done with you. Well, you got people with bigger problems than this kid. He walked in on them a couple times.
I completely
agree with that, but most our parents are busy. Most of the kids we talk to, their parents are trying to stab each other with crocheting needles.
All right, all right.
The fact that these guys are still into each other is sort of gross as it is when you're 14. It's a far cry and a far bit better than where most of these people are at.
Yeah. All right.
I'm gonna give him that. They got a townhouse. He's fine.
Bryn?
Bryn? All right. Megan?
Uh-huh?
You're 21?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi, I have a question. I just recently started taking Effexor for depression.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to know if mixing it with ecstasy is a bad idea.
Yes, a bad idea.
Very bad?
Well, you're taking, if the ecstasy is going to make your depression worse, for one thing,
mm-hmm.
and you're already requiring medication because your depression is so bad,
mm-hmm.
so it could be a very bad thing, just that by itself.
Okay.
In terms of the interaction with the effects, no one really knows for sure.
Okay. So it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, listen, anybody who's on medication
mm-hmm.
can't take drugs.
Yeah.
Because you already have a problem that needs to be medicated with pharmaceuticals.
Uh-huh.
So you've eliminated yourself from the group that can get high. I mean, here's the way I feel about it. I don't mind people getting high. I have no real problem with that. I don't like kids getting high. And I don't like people that are screwed up getting high.
Well,
or stupid people getting high.
All right, well, that's it. That's the whole American population.
No, it's
not.
Everyone
except you.
Well, listen. It's like this. You want to be a pilot, right? But your eyesight's effed up. Well, you know what? You don't get to be a pilot.
Yeah.
And if you want to take drugs, fine. But if you're on a bunch of serotonin reuptake inhibitors, you can't take drugs. And that's untrue, Drew. I work with many, many, many. Look, we were done. We had the basically we finished our last man show yesterday, and after this show, I went over there to party with everybody.
Yeah.
These guys sitting around smoking joints left and right.
Right.
Now, these guys work very hard, make a good living, you know, do their thing. And now now that it's time to smoke a joint. I have zero problem with that, and I don't think society should have any problem with that, and I don't think the goddamn man should have any problem with that.
I actually agree with you, but interestingly, I don't put marijuana. I put marijuana in the alcohol category.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not an addict, if you don't have momentum with it, if you don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, well, these people do smoke a fair amount of weed, but always when they're, you know, when they're done with work or whatever they're doing.
They're smoking regularly then, and they're on antidepressants. That's a very bad idea.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you're really stupid, you got to stay away from the drugs because it makes you a little bit dumber and you can't afford to lose any of those places. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Drew, we don't talk about this. I'm the only one I've ever heard talk about this.
Now what?
Stupid people. Stupid people is, look at it this way. Drugs damage your brain.
Yeah, but most of the mood centers.
Just quiet down. Quiet down. Don't get in the way of me on a roll. Here's the deal. Your brain is like a tire. Yeah. And let's just say it's got 50 pounds of pressure in it.
Uh-huh.
And you do some weed, and you start drinking, you do some drugs, you let a little air out of there. Now, if you're starting with 50 and we're only knocking you down to 42, 39 pounds, you can still drive through life, no problem. Even better than most people. But you know what? If you only got 14, 15 pounds in it to begin with, and you start letting air out of there, now you're down to retard. But you're flat.
But I think, though, you shouldn't think of that so much as a cognition, as an intellectual issue, more about brain power. And that includes being able to be resilient and have decent mood and stabilize your mood. You know what I'm saying? Those are all brain functions, too.
Yeah.
And so it's not just intellect.
I know, but a guy, even if it affects his mood or his affect, smart people seek help. Smart people still make livings.
Okay.
But they function in society. Yeah. I'm saying dumb people who get high all the time lose their ability to function. We all know screwed up people who make a lot of money, pay a lot of taxes, go on many vacations, interact with other people, and carry on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if they're crying inside, but they're sure as hell from a society standpoint, they're not a problem.
Right.
They're paying a lot in taxes.
Yes.
And no problem with that.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Stupid people go from barely being able to get the gig at the Taco Bell to now back in their folks' basement. And that's why stupid people shouldn't do the drugs. But if you're smart, you should be able to do the drugs. That's what I'm saying. And the man, with the weed. Jesus Christ, what year are we in with this weed? What year is it?
The governor of New Mexico is going on a campaign to legalize.
I know, but meanwhile, we got the feds closing in on the hospices that deal out the legal marijuana and stuff. What are you? How high are you guys?
Yeah, I know.
What's wrong with you guys? And I know you guys, and I'm talking about the government, you basically don't do anything. You figure out how you're going to get reelected the following year. I understand that. You want to sort of do whatever you think people want you to do. What about the part where you go in and bust these rings where they have, not rings, but these communities where they have legalized marijuana or they're giving them to AIDS patients that are dying or something? How important is that? What year are we in? What is going on with this?
Mm.
And I swear to God, Drew, I got to do it one day. But here's what I got to do. I got to grow a pot plant on my yard.
Yeah.
I got to grow it. I got to grow it like Jack and the Beanstalk sized pot plant right in the middle of my front yard. And I got to get like a 25-foot pot plant in my front yard.
And then
I got to get busted. And they're going to threaten to take away the house. And they're going to threaten to imprison me and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to fight it and win. I could fight this and win, goddammit.
This is the Todd McCormick thing.
Yeah, well,
he's in jail.
Yeah, he had 5,000 plants in his house.
Yeah.
He had like 5,000 plants, Drew. Yeah. It's a little tougher. Here's my thing, though. Their whole thing is, well, you got X amount of pot, therefore you must have wanted to sell it.
I see.
And see, we are busting you for distribution.
Hmm.
But my thing is hey, don't you got to see me selling it? I mean, don't you have to prove that?
Yeah.
Because I got a whole S-load. I mean, let's say I want to go down to the Price Club and buy 700 cans of Dinty Moore stew. Couldn't I just say I only wanted to make one trip, I like Dinty Moore stew, and I wanted to stock up? Or am I now setting up a dealership where I sell Dinty Moore stew? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't they have to see me selling it?
They have to prove intent.
Idiots.
And let right, me just, so, okay. So basically, Hollywood PD... It cruises yes. on over to Adam's house, by every day.
Oh, my God.
And you'll find one of these days there'll be a giant Jack and the Beanstalk-sized pot.
It would ruin my life. I would become like Lenny Bruce, but I know I could win this case on
maybe,
my goddamn property.
Maybe,
I can't put a pot plant.
Maybe you could get your garage expansion approved, too.
Listen, here's
about it.
All I got to say is all you right-wingers, all you gun-toting nut jobs, you religious crackpots, you Chuck Heston fans... You know, these NRA nut jobs. Where are you guys? Where are you guys with this pot stuff? Where are you pussies? You're so worried about your rights. You're so worried about the man. You're so worried about having the Constitution infringed upon. Yet you want these guys locked up. You want to have your banana clip with your armor-piercing bullets because, hey, you're an American.
I bet you a lot of
pussies.
These guys are...
More, pussies.
No. I bet a lot of these guys are
hypocrites.
More over towards libertarian.
No.
And I bet they...
Little. Were, they still want... They want all the potheads locked up, though. They don't want anybody smoking weed. No. You think Chuck Heston wants that? You think any of those NRA guys are into the weed-smoking guys?
They better be into it.
You think
it,
they're going to defend somebody's right to have a pot plant, grow some weed in their house?
I feel a political campaign coming on here.
Right.
What do you think?
All right.
No?
I'm done. I'm not running for office. Pulling my hat out of the ring.
We'll go on the hemp platform.
But those guys are idiots, too. Okay. Let's take ourselves a little break. When we come back, we're going to try to talk to Bryn again. I don't know. What's her problem, Drew?
She got her period while she was sharing with her boyfriend.
What's that have to do with my hemp platform?
I will find out.
After this. Buddy, Loveline. I'm Adam. It's Doc Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Jack Osborne in here tomorrow night. Drew eating a Baby Ruth bar.
Picking at it. Can't stop. What is that?
I don't know. But listen, if I was a company that manufactured anything, I'd just drop a case of them off at the radio station because that wasn't even the plan. But somebody dropped a couple cases of Baby Ruth bars on. I've now this mentioned it 227 times in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And we actually eat it onto the air. Yes, Anderson.
Of course that was the plan, though. They're not stupid.
No, but you see, here's the thing. I was doing a spot for Baby Ruth. This wasn't given to me by Baby Ruth. These were given to me by the company that does the sales, not the sales, but the advertising. And that's one of their accounts. And they just did it as a gift. But the whole plan about yapping about it on the air, the campaign's not on the air. It's not even going on the air.
It isn't?
I just did it. It was just like a practice thing.
Oh, you didn't get it?
Yeah. Well, no, I probably will, but I don't want to get
why
it.
Why do they don't have to spend another penny? They've gotten all the advertisement they need already.
I know. Speaking of spending money, I know we owe you money, Anderson. Don't worry, buddy. I got it under control.
Big money.
Under control. Bryn?
Bryn, you there?
Bryn was having trouble with her line, and I think that's it with her. Joe?
How are you doing?
Good, Joe. You're 30. What's up?
Question about addictions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I heard Dr. Drew talking, I guess it was last week or so, 2 weeks ago, talking to a guy who said he had a problem with alcohol, where he was blacking out a lot, and he was Dr. Drew was talking about addictions. I was wondering where Dr. Drew decides he draws, I don't know if this is the proper way to put it, but draws the line between addiction and just a guy that doesn't have a lot of willpower.
There's a huge difference. Listen, let's define the terms. Dependency means that you have to use more of a substance to get the same effect, and then you have to continue it to prevent withdrawal. That's dependency. Now, in more severe forms of addiction, you will get dependency. Addiction
That's more severe. I thought if you're addicted to something, it always doesn't it always
no.
end up getting too dependent.
No, only as it moves along later in the
well,
disease.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
yeah, no, it doesn't always. And addiction is, A, family history. So you got some alcoholism in your family.
Yeah.
B, continued use and usually progressive in the face of adverse consequence.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a, you know, it's the for instance, nicotine is a great example of sometimes
that's,
being.
That's what I was calling about,
and,
actually.
And the nicotine addicts are the ones that you see smoking through their tracheostomies and through smoking in the coronary care unit. They can't stop in spite of the consequences. Anyone without addiction will stop when there's a consequence.
Does the idea of addiction carry over from substance to substance?
Absolutely.
It's just the idea of addiction. Say, for example, this guy who was blacking out a lot, you told him if he has a history of alcoholism, his family's probably an alcoholic. Now, if he leaves, say he's able to kick alcohol on his own, he cold turkey.
Addiction is addiction. Whatever the chemical is just determines the natural history. It's all triggered through the mesolimbic reward system. It's a certain kind of intracytoplasmic change in the nucleus accumbens, shell of the nucleus accumbens cells. It's been worked out exactly what's going on, and it only occurs in genetically prone individuals.
So a person that has a tendency to use tobacco a great deal, which in my case is the case, if he doesn't have a history of addiction in his family,
then he'd be
more
just
likely he can kick a cold turkey than another person.
It'd be easier for him. More likely that without some sort of comprehensive, it's severe dependency then. And nicotine is kind of a special case because it causes such intense cravings and such intense drive to use that it's difficult to get away from it, particularly for using the smokeless stuff, because you get very, very high concentrations when you chew.
What about So if you know, there's some people that are chain smokers.
There's also, but think about nicotine also, is that people really use it to regulate their moods, and it can actually change their brain chemistry a little bit, that without it, they can't, their moods are completely off, and the only way they can get back is with the nicotine again. And it takes a long time for them to stabilize.
So it's a little bit of a special case, but yeah. Would you say that somebody who is a chain smoker, as opposed to a regular smoker, I guess, who just really smoked sort of feverishly, would you say that person has the gene?
Usually,
has the addiction gene?
The other thing that happens is some people, like schizophrenics, I had a schizophrenic that smoked 9 packs a day.
Wow.
And it turns out that their nicotinic system is off, and they get some relief of their schizophrenic symptoms when they smoke a lot. They get some sort of special gratification.
You live in California? You have to move out of state if you want
to
smoke
that
much.
Yeah, that wild.
Yeah, I don't know how you can do it.
A day. It's almost like you can't even imagine. You have to concentrate all day. Like
you'd have to light one cigarette off the butt of the next, and you couldn't do anything because you can't smoke anywhere in this godforsaken state of ours.
Yeah.
It's ironic that there's a lot of compensation that goes on in California. We have the world's worst air, yet smoking is heavily regulated. I mean, the idea that no, you couldn't possibly expose someone to secondhand smoke by taking a restaurant, breaking it up into two sections.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, we've had the worst air in the world for many years, and then now we're second to, like, Mexico City or something. But nationally, I think we have the worst air. And it's funny that we're the most concerned about secondhand smoke.
Well, we don't want to add insult to injury.
Yeah, I know, but just find a very hot day in August, go up on the mountain and see if you can see terra firma from where you are. Or just stand out in the city and see if you can see a mountain. You can't see it in this city. Really worried that much about the secondhand smoke. All right, that's great. First, secondhand smoke, though, first-hand killer. First-hand killer, Drew.
New campaign.
What would you rather? What would you rather for your family?
Mm-hmm.
Madman breaks into the house with a machete? Or secondhand smoke, because it's the same outcome. Same outcome.
Oh, but secondhand smoke is much more disgusting.
All right, so you go madman.
Yeah,
escaped mental patient with machete. Sure. 55,000 people a year die. Secondhand smoke. Very well documented. Well, we all know someone who's gone that way. 3-4 family members have gone that way in my family. Not smokers, just secondhand. Sure. Jill?
Jill?
I first want to say, Adam and you guys, I've been, like, listening to you for 2 years straight, and I've always wanted to call. And, Adam, I just want to say I think your voice is so sexy.
Thank you.
And that, I don't know, you are so twang. That's our new word for kick-ass cool.
Twang?
Yeah.
All right.
And that, I don't know, I saw you on The Man Show. I'm like, oh, Adam.
Yeah.
I just love you so much.
Yeah. Thanks, baby.
You're welcome.
I'm going to put you on my list of people to deflower.
Huh.
Okay.
Are you a virgin?
Yes.
All right. put you down then.
Okay.
Living in the Hollywood area?
Yeah.
Well, very convenient. Very convenient.
Yeah, I'm actually in a group home.
Better. Got to be other chicks there for me to get too, right?
Actually, no.
Vulnerable, down on their luck?
No.
You're the only one in a group home?
No, there's other girls and there's other guys here.
Right, that I could have sex with?
No, not really.
Why not? What?
Well, because they're like not, they're more experienced than I am.
Mm.
Let's just say that.
Oh, see, she's saying you can't deflower
anyone.
I can't
take their virginity?
No. I'm sorry.
All right.
But I'll be happy to.
I'll tell you what, give me a call if some virgins come into place, though, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, just leave a message. I'm not home. Oh. Yeah, we got to take a break. But then we'll get back with Jill, who's living in a group home. Find out what group home. She's out here in Hollywood. Find out where that place is. Let me put, whatever it is, it's got house behind it. And probably Hope or Dream or Wish or
Rainbow
Covenant or something. Something
Night
house.
Of the Night. Something of the Night.
Ironically, most everything that they put house behind, whether it's, you know, House of Nuts or House of Pies or Rainbow House, not a house.
Ronald McDonald House.
The Ronald McDonald House is not a house.
Right.
It's a home, though. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I love that guitar riff. Kind of got that little rockabilly there. Yeah. I know that's Jimmy Eat World.
I watch all that Crystal Method stuff.
I'm hip. Well, now, I knew you were into techno, but I thought you weren't into house.
I don't know the difference. I don't like Crystal Method.
You don't know the difference between techno and house?
No, dude.
Oh, wow. All right, Grandpa. Woo! Jill?
Hi. This could be a question for either Sexy Adam or Dr. Drew.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Jill, living in the
home.
Group home.
Yeah. I want to give a shout-out to Beechwood.
Yeah. Where is this group home of yours?
It's on Beechwood Drive, right up by Franklin.
Is it called?
Oh, no. No, you're by, you're on Gower.
Yeah, by Gower, yeah.
You're on Gower.
Mm-hmm.
Called the Beechwood Home?
Yeah, Options House.
Options House.
No, it's not called the you're on Gower Street.
No, it's not Gower, it's Beechwood Drive.
Oh, that little drive. That's a little tiny drive.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that place.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, I thought that was a crack hotel.
Oh, no.
You're at that place right off the freeway there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's by a freeway.
Yeah, that the weird... Yeah, I know it's not in the middle of the freeway. But that place, I mean, is it that place, and indulge me, everybody, I'm sorry, because I drive past this place every night.
You do?
Yeah.
He lives up Beechwood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll give a little toot on the horn as I speed by my expensive car tonight with the windows rolled up and the doors locked.
Okay.
So I know that little drive, too. I get stuck on it once in a while by accident.
Now,
right?
you're at that little place. You're at that place that looks like a cheap motel?
It's not a cheap motel. It just has a white picket fence. It's right by Sharamoya.
What's Sharamoya?
Now I'm confused. White picket fence?
It's all...
Okay. Hey, Jill?
Uh-huh.
This is going to drive me nuts because now I don't know what you're talking about with the white picket fence. All right, go ahead. What's the problem?
Since I came here, because I used to live around here too, but then I had to move away because the reason why I came here. But my question is that I've been suffering like from a lot of peer pressure here.
Why did you have to move away?
Because my father passed away on New Year's Day.
Ooh, where's your mom?
She's mentally ill. She lives in a retirement home in Panorama City.
Wow, Panorama City. Must be beautiful.
Yeah.
Must be a panorama.
Never been to Panorama City, but it sounds marvelous.
And no, it's not.
Yeah, it's an
and
asshole.
And I moved to lovely 909, Pomona.
Yeah, Pomona. At least Pomona has the dignity of sounding like ass.
Jill, so what'd your dad die of?
He had a heart attack and stroke.
How old was he?
67.
Wow.
All right.
Do you have a sibling, brother, sister, anything like that?
I lived with my half-sister, and she kicked me out of her house.
Oh, my God.
Because I wasn't doing good at a Catholic school.
Oh, boy. Now, this home you're living in, is it for is sort of a treatment home, like a halfway house, or is it?
No, this is where I'm going to be living until I'm 18.
But is it just like a, like what we, you know, a modern-day orphanage kind of thing? Or is it treatment-oriented?
No, it's not that. It's just that you stay here, like, it's not a shelter. It's just, like, some place for you to stay until you get on your feet.
Who runs it?
LAYN.
Who?
LAYN, Los Angeles Youth Network.
All right. Well, listen, you can do all right there, can't you?
I'm trying.
But yeah, don't have sex with any of the guys.
Okay.
Now, you're on Beechwood just below Franklin?
Just above Franklin.
Above Franklin?
Mm-hmm.
You're up the hill?
Yeah.
And on what side of the street are you on?
As you're driving up the hill.
The left side.
You're on the left side as you drive up the hill from Franklin.
Yeah.
You know, it must be right.
Drive me nuts.
It must be at a dead end. Doesn't that little street dead end?
Now, where the school is?
They're like a few blocks up from the school.
All right, on the left side.
Yeah.
I'm gonna toot on the horn tonight. All right.
Okay.
All right.
All be
you guys
out.
Be hanging out there about 11, about 12:20. All right.
All right.
A little tootski on the horn.
Hey, Jill.
All right?
Jill.
Uh-huh.
Jill, you've got a lot of stuff going on emotionally. You have some huge, huge losses, and naturally enough, you're going to be looking in your environment for solutions to some of the pain you're feeling. The solutions you're being offered, sex, drugs, these sorts of things, weed that other people are doing, those become problems. They're solutions in that they work for a few minutes, but they're not real solutions. They're just not even Band-Aids. They just end up making things worse. So just don't give in to all that.
Jared.
Yes, sir.
You're 28 years old.
Yes, sir.
You want to sell your kidney.
Well, yeah, basically, but I was really more interested in the physical consequences of it and, you know, what kind of sacrifice that would really be.
Well, hold on a second. Drew, don't make a puss now just because you decided your spidey sense was tingling and decided you didn't like this call. It's an interesting call so far.
What happens when you remove a kidney? Nothing. That's why they go ahead and remove them.
Yeah, but what if you had a kidney removed as a healthy person?
It means nothing.
Are there complications? How dangerous a procedure is kidney removal?
It's a big operation, but they've got it pretty well perfected, so it's unusual to have complications. I mean, siblings give one another kidneys all the time.
And where do you stand on buying of these things?
I think creating a market in organs is a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Because why?
I don't understand why. What?
It's basically creating a market in human life, because it's the marketplace then will decide who survives.
But are there people currently donating kidneys, just saying, here, have
yes,
kidneys?
Yes,
In the world, yes.
But we're such hypocrites in this country. It's like gambling's illegal, but you can gamble on, you know, pie-gal poker at a casino. You can gamble on horse racing, but you can't gamble on football. It's the same with this kind of thing, which is, look, people that have money survive longer and live safer lives.
Hmm?
You drive cars with airbags and side impact safety beams and roll cages and all kinds of crap like that, and poor people drive old pieces of crap with nothing in it. They live in neighborhoods that are much more dangerous. They work in jobs that have much higher mortalities. I mean, let's face it, money buys you life. For some people, it works out that way medically. When you're poor, you don't have a physician, you can't get certain kinds of treatment, you can't catch things early,
mm-hmm.
so on and so forth. Why should it be any different with something like this? Wait, if I needed a liver or a kidney or something and I was willing to throw money at it, why shouldn't I be able to get it? I get everything else.
Your point's well taken.
Yeah.
I can't answer that with any kind of...
I can answer it. Here's what it is. We, and this is the same with the fetal cell testing and all this, we're completely freaked out in this society on that playing God. Anytime that playing God thing comes in,
mm-hmm.
and anytime the playing God thing comes in, everyone freaks immediately. Hello, we're playing God every day. We're sending people to the moon. We're flying airplanes. We're transplanting hearts. What do you mean playing God? Where does the playing God stop and where does it start? And by the way, what today isn't playing God would have been playing God and Satan 100 years ago.
Right.
So what's up with people? Number two, anytime there's any perceived, just because you have money doesn't mean you get this or get that or get in line in front of. Anytime there's, it smells of that, everyone freaks out too.
When we all know
that's what life is.
Well, when it doesn't pertain to goods, then we freak out. If it pertains to, you know, life in some substantive way.
Listen,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes. You have money. You have an alarm on your house. Some people have live in neighborhoods that are gated with security guards going around, and you drive a Volvo wagon that has a it has an airbag that goes up your rectum if something happens. Of course it's a much safer. Of course you pay for safety. You pay for safety. It's fine. That's it. That's more incentive to make money. And, hey, if some guy wants to sell an organ in his body that's not functioning or not doing him any good, and I want to buy it for 50 grand, isn't that between the two of us?
Mm.
Oh, so be it. So now there's a market for people to sell an organ that they don't need. That's just free market to me. How's this going to spin out? That's the whole thing, too. It's like the Kevorkian thing. We got to stop Kevorkian. Why? Because where does it stop? Well, people are terminally ill. They decide they want to dine. He gives them that opportunity. Yeah, that's today. But tomorrow, Kevorkian's barging in your home, getting hold of your perfectly healthy young adolescent child and slitting his throat. And he can't be prosecuted. Really? That's where it's heading. Interesting. Let me write this down. Nostradamus, you seem to know the future here. So once it becomes legal, then doctors just start killing their patients willy-nilly and laughing. Is that how it goes? All right, that's good. That's good. And once we perfect the heart transplant, then healthy people were just be getting their hearts transplanted, or we'll be tearing the hearts out of healthy people. How's this work? I want to know about the future. No, of course it's not going to happen. It's that slippery slope BS.
Only attorneys believe in that.
Yeah, the attorneys don't believe in anything other than making money. They don't believe that. They just argue about it. So, look, if he wants to get his kidney taken out, that's fine with me. You got to go to Mexico or somewhere and sell it, though. You can go to one of these South American countries. All these doctors end up springing up over there, and you fly over there and get it done.
Bren?
Hi.
Hey.
Hey, you're 19.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I just have to apologize to you guys. I was on my cell phone.
What's up?
Okay, basically, a couple days ago, I was fooling around with a guy in my bedroom, and we were just, like, fooling around. Like, there was, like, genital-on-genital contact, but they're, like, I'm a virgin, so, like, there's no sex. And he didn't ejaculate. And then we took a shower together, and in the shower, I got my period, but it stopped for like a day and a half, and then it resumed. But
okay, Brent, just being sexually aroused can make some women bleed, and or intercourse can make you bleed. So there you go.
Really?
Yes, that's it.
Even though, like,
that's it.
Okay.
Not even anything. That's all you need to know. It's not a big deal.
Like, I have my period. Like,
yeah.
Okay, so
that wasn't your period. That was just bleeding that stimulated from the arousal.
Oh, that's weird.
But can sex stimulate the period?
Sometimes,
bring it on.
Sometimes, but usually it just sort of creates mid-cycle bleeding.
I look at the period as a peach that's up on the top of the tree, and sex is shaking the base of the tree.
Basically, that's it.
Trying to knock the period off.
Yeah, or even a better way of sort of thinking about it is that there's an unstable lining there that pieces can come off, you know.
So there's unstable uterus lining.
Right.
That's on the top of the tree?
Right. You shake the tree and the uterus falls down.
Still a peach tree, or are we on a uterus tree now?
Plum might be a little more appropriate, no?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
And then I just have another quick question. Is there any possibility of becoming pregnant? How slim are your chances if you're just fooling around and if you're not having intercourse and that kind of thing?
No semen is emitted? Zero. No penis goes in the vagina.
Mm-hmm.
And no semen circulating around anywhere.
What about my Gulf Stream or jet stream
theory that floated earlier in the show? If he'd had sex with someone else with sufficient force and it entered the Gulf Stream, jet stream, really.
The jet stream.
Yeah. Yeah.
It could find its way to your vagina.
Of course.
True.
Or some other wayward sperm up there in the jet stream, you know?
Okay.
Right.
Cool.
All right, Bryn.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, good times there, baby.
Thanks.
You're not a virgin, are you?
Yeah.
I am.
Yeah.
A virgin?
Yeah.
19, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Saving it for marriage, are you?
I I sure am.
Great.
Good times. You going to marry this guy?
No, probably not.
All right. That's good, too. How does oral sex fit into your thinking about sexuality?
Actually, I was reading your opinion online on drdrew.com.
My opinion?
Yeah. About if oral sex is, if you believe that mm-hmm. has some kind of play into that. And I was really surprised by your opinion, but I don't know. I think oral sex is okay, but it should be saved for special times, not necessarily for, like, the person you're going to marry, but at least someone that you're dating seriously and that you care about.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Hey.
All right, baby.
All right, thanks.
All right, take care.
Thanks, you too.
I'm going to put you on my list.
Okay.
My deflowering list.
You do that.
All right.
Yeah, good luck, Adam. You do that.
Bye-bye.
All right. She's out in Tustin. Okay, I can swing by there after I swing by the halfway house. Well, it's right up the hill for me, huh? And... Ian?
Yeah?
You're 20.
Yeah.
What's up?
I've been having problems with short-term relationships
mm-hmm.
since I was 14.
Uh-huh.
And basically, every girl that I go out with cheats on me with my best friends.
That you go out with. Describe one of these sort of circumstances. How long had you been dating? Give us the last one. How long were you dating her?
About 3 months.
And you were someone you were seeing regularly?
Yeah.
Were you like having sex with her, physically intimate?
Yeah.
And then who does she hook up with?
My best friend, Nate.
Loser. I see. And has Nate done this to you before?
He had sex with one of my exes once, but... He's just like, the thing is, it's not like I'm ugly or fat or anything either.
So Nate has done this before?
No, he
has. He's always trying to work in a little mason jar, actually. Yeah.
Ian.
Yeah.
Young Nate, you say he's done this before or not? You said he had sex with one of your exes.
Right.
That was
after we broke up.
Okay, so.
And that didn't bother you?
Well, I guess I didn't have anything to say about it because I wasn't with her at the time.
And that didn't bother you?
Well, yeah, it bothered me a little.
All right. Well, maybe this guy's not your best friend, you know? He seems to
carry on.
Be using his penis to mop up a lot of your ladies.
Yeah, I guess so.
How did this latest one, when he actually stole someone? He just started dating her, or what happened?
No, he just had sex with her, like casual sex.
What, at a party or something?
Kinda, yeah.
How'd you find out about it?
He told me.
Why'd he tell you?
I don't know. He just said that.
Now we know it's bogus.
Yeah. All right. So look, this is either bogus or it's not. It's certainly not a question.
It's not hanging together, Ian.
Sorry.
Nice try.
Well, my question really was.
Oh, okay. All right. Here we go.
Why they keep cheating on me with my best friends?
Why? Because. Look, if this question is true, why do they keep cheating on me with my best friend? Well, your best friend's not your best friend they keep banging your girlfriend.
A, number one.
B, number two, you're going after some women that have suspect character tendencies
there you
at
go.
Best.
That's it. That's the whole thing right
so
there.
But it can all be traced back to you, Ian, because you chose to make this guy your best
mm-hmm,
friend,
mm-hmm.
and you chose to date women
girls, yeah.
who would want to bang your best friend.
Right.
So, don't focus on the best friend. Don't focus on them.
Focus on Ian.
That's right. Always do that, everyone. Just blame yourself for everything. Angelica?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, you're 17.
Yeah, I'm calling to see if you guys could tell me what are the dangers of doing ecstasy and going swimming.
Never had this one before, have we, Drew?
Swimming. Like in a swimming pool, not in like a lake or something.
Yeah. Like just taking a pill and going swimming.
Does it do something with your body temperature or anything? Is the water exceedingly cold?
I don't know. That's why I'm calling.
Well, you actually get hyperthermia is one of the things you get from speed. You get the hot. I can't think of anything offhand that was specifically...
What about if you go down to the deep end and you get your ass caught on the drain
then you
and
got
it
a problem.
Sucks your intestines out through your anus?
Then you got a problem.
Yeah.
Why? What's your plan for this weekend?
Just what I said. Like, I don't know. Me and my friends are talking about doing that, so
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to know. Like,
I don't think I can't think of any. Although, you know what happens sometimes? I'll tell you where the concern would be is that occasionally people get these unusual psychotic reactions from speed, from ecstasy. All of a sudden, they'll become kind of delirious and do very, usually kind of weird and bizarre things.
Yeah.
And it can get dangerous around water, I would think. But if that doesn't happen, I know of no specific problem that I can think of with speed. Other than if you get some sort of cardiac rhythm disturbance, which is pretty unusual.
You going with girls or guys and girls?
Yeah, mixture of both.
Now, aren't you? I'm more concerned with just the casual use of ecstasy and its brain damaging effects, and that's going to have the more serious long term influence on you. It seems to me.
I'm pretty concerned about what kind of bathing suit you're going to be wearing.
I'm not going to be wearing a bathing suit.
Oh.
I'm sure no one wants to see that.
Yeah, no one wants to see a bathing suit.
You're going at least me in one.
Skinny dipping? Why? What's wrong with you in a bathing suit?
It's kind of gross.
You in a bathing suit is gross?
Yeah,
you're fat.
Yeah.
Yeah. But being out of the bathing suit, that could be worse, right?
No, I don't know.
Well, I'm saying for the crowd.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, wait a second. What's wrong with you in a bathing suit?
I just don't look good in one.
But you do look good naked?
Oh, no. I never said I was going to go skinny dipping.
Oh. I could have sworn that's what she said.
No, I said, what kind of bathing suit are you wearing? And she said, I'll not be wearing a bathing suit.
I see.
Provocatively, which, of course, means I'll be wearing sweatpants and a windbreaker in the pool. I mean, any intelligent person would get that. What are you going to be wearing?
Like shorts and a T-shirt.
All right, baby. All right, enjoy.
Also, real fast, would going on roller coasters, also, would that be dangerous or...
Well, yeah, your whole weekend mapped out, don't you?
Yeah.
No, I know of no added danger to that.
But here's the thing.
Beyond the heat can be a problem, though.
Angelica.
Yeah.
Remember I was giving the speech about dumb people doing drugs earlier in the night?
Yeah.
You're close to that area.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm there.
Oh, you're pretty sure you're stupid?
Yeah.
Nice.
Listen, I don't mind someone who knows they're stupid, because, A, how dumb can you be if you know you're stupid? Catch 22, you know what I'm saying?
It's not really stupid then. It's just sort of
number two, you never have these crazy... let me tell you something. This is what I have to say. Knowing you're stupid is important. It's like knowing you're ugly. It's very important in life.
Well, it keeps you attuned to reality. So you understand why people treat you a certain way, why things happen to you a certain way.
Yes, we talk to women and men, but we'll talk to women all night, and it's like, I'm 5'3", and I'm 215, and I got some curves. I'm not fat, but I'm wondering, why do all these guys just want to F me and dump me, and no one wants to be my boyfriend? And it's like because you're not assessing yourself clearly. Do you know what I'm saying?
You're not experiencing yourself the way other people experience you.
That's how you have to experience yourself.
Yeah.
And stupid people need to do that, too, because I know a lot of stupid people that don't know they're stupid. And you know what the number one thing a stupid guy wants to do who doesn't know he's stupid?
Or the pig surgeon.
No. He's an entrepreneur.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's got ideas.
Yeah, yeah. See, I always get them. I'm going to be a surgeon, but I haven't quite got around to it yet.
No, Drew, you're not hanging. Yeah, but you're hanging. Those people aren't really stupid. They're sort of, they're medium smart, and they think they're geniuses, and they're slightly delusional, but they're not stupid.
Right.
Stupid guys, the number one thing they want to do, they want to start up a T-shirt company because they got ideas. They got ideas that need to go on T-shirts. Clothing. T-shirts.
Right.
I don't know what it is, but that does not exclude anyone in society from doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And they always dream about this. I got a clothing line, man. I got an idea, man. I got shoes, special shoes that I'm going to market to pool players. It's one of the things, too. They invent something that doesn't really need anything. Yeah, can't the guy just wear tennis shoes or loafers? No, these are different. The pad goes up on the,
buggery boots.
Yeah. All right, so if you're stupid, you need to know you're stupid. And if you're fat, you need to know you're fat. And if you're ugly, you need to know you're ugly. And then you can have a pretty decent life. You're stupid. You got a job. You know you're stupid. You can't barge right in your boss's office and demand a raise. That would get you fired. But you know you're stupid, so you don't. See? And when you're ugly, you just try to date people that are hot. You spend your whole life getting abused and not getting laid. You're ugly, you know you're ugly. You try to nail other people that hopefully know they're ugly. Right, Drew?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll take a little break, and
We're going to talk about pals when we come back.
Yeah, because that's my idea, and that's part of my genius, my true genius, my legitimate genius.
It's bringing together different species.
I want to put a pig and a cow together and breed them so I can have the world's greatest ribs.
Called a pow.
Yes, and...
rack of pow.
Jordan, who's 27, knows about two animals that got spliced together like a pig and a cow. But Jesus, Drew, if it's a horse... And a donkey, yeah. I'm going to be mad, because I already covered that one. What animal is this, Jordan, that have been mixed together?
It's a spider and a goat.
Spider?
No, spider and a goat. All right, hold on. Brian's giving me the thumbs up.
It's got to be some kind of joke.
Yes. All right. We'll hear the spider and the goat. And either the punchline or the legitimate answer after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Let me make a recommendation to a lot of our male listeners. And you especially, Drew. Go out and get yourself a massage.
Oh, you had one today?
I had one 2 days ago.
Now, wait a minute. You normally...
Number one.
Are giving women endless S for hanging around spas and getting them mm-hmm. touched and mm-hmm. primped and this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I realize, as a guy, you don't get a massage unless you're gay. Straight guys don't get massages that don't end up in hand jobs.
So you're gay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No.
But this is your way of coming out, baby.
No. I was over at the man show, and because it was the last show or the last week or whatever, somebody went and hired a masseuse to sort of set up the table in the corner, and the office sort of filed through it. Of course, everyone found out except for me, Jimmy, and Daniel, the three bosses who were sitting in our rooms. Everyone else was getting massages, and we never found out about it. I was the only one who found out about it at the end and went and got one.
Was she that same woman that used to come around the Loveline set?
No, that crazy bitch is gone, daddy gone. Nothing worse than getting a massage when someone waxes on about fairies and reincarnation nonstop while you're trying to relax. Crazy bitch.
These are those gold dust moments.
Yeah, except for she would have squeezed in 150 words into the time that Tori Spelling worked in gold dust moments.
Right.
But here's what I'm saying, guys. I mean, Tori Amos.
What'd you say?
I said Tori Spelling.
Oh.
Tori Amos. Go out and get yourself a massage every once in a while. Feels good. You owe it to yourself. The ladies get one. Ladies, any woman I've ever dated has needed a massage.
Twice a week.
Yeah. Well, she needed a massage because of her last massage. Oh, my God. What a day. I got a massage in the morning. Then I had a massage. And now I need another massage because of the very difficult massage that I went through. And guys will never do it. Drew, you'll never do that.
Get a massage?
You start getting gift certificates. And
I get
and
like you, once a year.
You give them to the old lady.
No,
give them
I
to the old
lady. Yeah, you, I do. I do give them to her. But about once a year, I'll get one.
Here's the other thing, too. Guys don't like this either, but it's a better way to go. Get a guy to give you a massage. Mm. Now, I know I'm going extra gay now, but I'll tell you, you get a guy who's got some big paws on him, he'll snap your neck, pop my hip like back in the socket, yank my leg. I mean, I was getting big hand job at the end. Swallowed. It was great. Jordan?
Yeah?
You're 27?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The two animals.
Right.
Right. The
I'm a chef up in San Francisco. I love your pig and a cow. I mean, that's perfect.
Wouldn't that be great?
Great, that'd be great. It'd
great
be
awesome. Ribs, right?
So, a spider goat.
Spider and a goat, yeah.
Yeah, I found out the information on the internet. It's supposedly it excretes some type of webbing or netting that's stronger than Kevlar.
Isn't this is something they're contemplating doing, right?
No, they did it. They did it a couple years ago. You can look it up. You guys have a computer right there.
We found out the Mighty Heroes. We found the name of the cartoon.
Spider goat, it'll come up.
And so what is it? What does it look like?
It looks like a goat.
And
supposedly the goat excretes some kind of webbing like a spider would.
Right.
I don't know where the webbing comes out of, but
well, it's wrist.
It's super strong.
Wow. All right. And they're using it for military experiments or something?
They're using something like that.
All right. Well, thanks, Jordan.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Hey, good times, buddy.
All right. Take it
easy. All right. I'm just going to say take it easy, but I cut them off. Yeah, it's true. I mean, if you think about a spider web, it is quite a bit stronger than steel. No, I mean, it per size. Well, listen, I've almost had my head taken off by spider webs coming up my stairs at night.
Well, this is that time of year or two now, right?
Yeah, and really the real comedy is watching me spaz out mm-hmm. for no apparent reason mm-hmm. because no one else can see the spider web. And I feel it in my head and stuff, and then I do that weird ardent flailing thing and start spazzing.
But what you know, the reason you really freak is that you've seen the size of the spiders that create those big webs where they span, like from one tree to the other, and the spider's the size of a quarter.
Yeah, and it's crazy that the web goes from the top of the chimney two yeah. stories up all the way down to the lemon tree
yeah.
that's 30 feet over. What's it do? Have some kind of rocket launcher and it fires a grappling hook over to it? It's crazy.
And
what the hell are they doing?
Have you ever walked into one of the anchoring lines?
Yeah.
Those are like rope. Yeah.
But what are they trying to catch? Magpie? I mean, what are they trying to go after, like, hawks? What are they going after? What do they need a 30-foot web for?
They're big.
You know the other thing, too, about spiders? Everyone's always trying to defend them. Oh, they eat the insects. They're insect eaters. They eat the bad insects. How come I never see one eating anything? Oh, the webs. They got webs for days. No argument with the webs. Yeah, they use the web to catch the bad insects. Yeah, where are they? How come I got ants all over the goddamn place? When will these spiders start eating some ants? I'll tell you something. The day I stop smashing spiders is the day I see the spiders kicking some ant ass instead of sitting up on the ceiling laughing while I'm trying to deal with these ants.
Maybe we need a spider aardvark.
I'm just saying, if spiders are doing good and they're eating the bad insects and all that stuff, I want to see some.
Huh?
I never even see insects eating insects. What is that? Do they have some kind of pact that they won't do it in front of us? You know, like when you take a snake and you throw a mouse in its cage and the mouse ends up standing on the snake's head? You get so bored you eventually leave? Why doesn't nature act like nature while we're watching? I'm convinced there's some kind of pact that nature has made with itself not to be any more entertaining to us than they already are. Like, listen, you snakes, you can't be eating those mice when the stone guy at the college is standing in front of the aquarium, because then he's going to just keep standing there and a big crowd's going to gather. And you spiders, no eating any other insects when Adam comes home. You just sit there on his ceiling. You do nothing. And he runs into your web, but you don't eat anything in front of him. Don't get, look, plenty of ants down on the counter. Could swoop down and get them all, but no. Now you're going to hang out on one of the blades of the ceiling fan and drive Adam nuts. Linda?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yeah, I'm 20.
You ever see a spider eat anything?
Never.
No. What do they eat? They just sit in your house. They don't eat anything.
What's up, Linda?
Okay, well, me and my boyfriend have been together for about 2 years. And about a year ago, we were having sex in my house, but my sister was in the other room, so we were trying to keep it down.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we were getting too loud, so I told him to stop, and he wouldn't stop. And then I told him to stop about two more times until he finally came. That's why he stopped.
Shocking.
It's never bugged me until now. I just want to know, would that, you know, I told him to stop, and I tried to push him off.
Why does it bug you now?
I don't know. I don't know. Nothing like this has ever happened before. I just, you know, I put it in the back of my mind.
You've never been sort of rendered powerless or victimized at any other time in your life?
Never.
No one ever hit you?
Never.
You weren't ever abandoned in any way?
No, never.
Yeah, he was on top of you?
No, he was, we're kind of doing it sideways. We're like lying down, but sideways.
Well, why didn't you pull away?
I did, but he kept on pulling me. I tried to pull away, but he pulled me. I guess he had me, and I guess.
Well, where was he holding you?
Huh?
Around the waist?
Like he had you around the neck or something? Like he was going to
throw? Around my arms, around my breast.
And, okay, and. You'd been having sex with him for a while before this?
Yeah, about a year. We've been together 2 years.
How many minutes before he stopped after the first time you said stop?
Not that long.
Two minutes?
No. If she says 2 minutes, that's 20 seconds.
No, yeah, it'd probably be like 30 seconds.
Let's do a little simulation here.
Okay.
You ready?
Okay.
You say stop, and I'll be your boyfriend. Let's let the clock get to let's second hand get to 12. All right.
Okay.
And action.
Okay, stop.
Oh man, mama.
Babe, stop.
No, hold on.
Stop.
Oh.
Is that about right? Yeah, the only reason.
Hold on. Was that? Yeah, I know. Yeah, I understand that. Was that time period about right?
Yeah, that was about right.
That was 10 seconds.
Okay.
We have a clock going here.
Listen, get over this, would you? And start focusing on what spiders eat.
Listen, but that, Linda, that is bizarre. I mean, once a guy is in that action, I'm not sure you can even reach them with language within 15, 20 seconds. You know what I'm saying? If there were an earthquake.
I'm in that mode right now, so I can't. I just see your mouth moving. I can't hear anything.
But you know what I mean?
Wah, wah, wah. No, I don't know what you mean. I can't hear you. I'm telling you. I'm in Anderson right now.
I see. Well, you're not in me.
Unacceptable.
Somebody call this show and tell me what spiders eat. And I don't tell me insects. I know the whole insect story.
We have a spider goat expert coming up next.
They always have those cocoons just filled with stuff.
They got stuff. No, those pouches, those cocoons are filled with more eggs that just hatch in my house. There can be more spiders to sit on my ceiling and stare at me while ants run around and mock me.
No, they're insects. Cocoons.
I would like to see some spiders getting into it with some ants. If we have any spiders listening, any ants, I would like to start. No, I'd like to start a turf war, like the Crips and the Bloods. This would be the ants and the spiders. Let's get them going at each other a little bit. Let the best man win. That's what I'm saying. I don't want ants and spiders. I want one or the other. Either the ants rub out the spiders or the spiders rub out the ants. You know what I mean?
Rub them out.
Just start eating insects like you're supposed to do.
All right. We'll find out more about the goat spider when we get back.
Hey, everybody, Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Forget about that phone number. Jack Osborne on the show tomorrow night. And we have Alex. He's calling from New York. He's 70 years old. 70, Alex?
That's right.
And, you know, Alex, I don't want to sound mean, but to our listeners, 70 years old means you died 30 years ago.
That's right. Well, unfortunately.
About that.
I have.
You've been dead since 1972, according to our listeners.
I have insomnia, so I'm just going through the dial, and I caught your program, and this business with the spider and the goat. Actually, it's a matter of gene splicing.
Mm-hmm.
They can't. The spider silk is stronger than steel.
Right.
But they can't get it from spiders because spiders are vicious, and they'll eat one another. So they took the gene that makes the...
Wait a minute. Why? The spiders will eat one another?
Well, if you put them in a cage together.
I see.
Ask them to make...
Meanwhile, they love ants.
Yeah, well, just about.
All right.
Uncles, too. And
oh, man, you should have went to bed.
Go ahead, Alex. What happened?
I wish I could. They took the gene from the spider. They injected it into the goat.
Mm-hmm.
In the genes that formulate the milk in the goat,
mm-hmm.
That material is formed in the milk, and they can extract that and put it through a spinneret, which is like the way they bake nylon and rayon and things like that, and it hardens. And they are just experimenting now to see if they can make stronger than steel items.
Wow. What's the name of this show?
And what about, shut up, Anderson, and what about my pig and cow combination?
I have no idea about the pig and cow.
Mm-hmm. Sound feasible to you?
Pardon?
Sound feasible to you?
No, I don't think you can jump different species.
What about the
spider and the goat?
What about the spider and the goat, though?
They're just taking one
gene.
One chromosome.
What about the rib chromosome, then? Because I want the ribs.
Don't know.
You know what I'm saying? Okay, but okay. Thank you. Thank you, Alex.
You're welcome.
Bye. He's going to change the dial immediately.
Change the dial. He's going to take a bat to the radio. And here's the thing, too. If you made it a cow and a pig, I know they think that's playing God, but that's playing farmer,
mm-hmm.
isn't it?
Mm.
That's not God. That's farmer. Steve?
Yeah.
You're 29?
Yeah.
You molested your cousin?
Stepsister.
All right. Well, now we're back on track. That's an important thing.
Okay.
So you molested your stepsister.
Yeah.
And when you were how old?
When I was 15 or 16.
And she was how old?
About 10 years younger than I was.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's pretty horrible. Well,
what's the question?
Yeah, it is.
What's the situation? What's the question?
You know, I don't know what to do about it. You know, I got into using drugs about a year or so after that. Used drugs for about 10 years, and a lot of that had to do with just dealing with that, you know, and I still don't know why I did it. You know, I don't have any justification or rationalization.
You were never sexually abused yourself?
Not that I know of. I was physically abused, but not sexually.
And what did you do to your stepsister?
You know, some oral sex, and, you know, I had her touch me, and, you know, it happened about 5 or 6 times.
How is she now?
How is she? Yeah, 5 or 6.
I haven't had contact with her in about 7 years.
Mm. Why is that? Because of this?
No, that was, she was a daughter my stepdad had with my mom, and they split up when I was 22, and he took off with her and a stepbrother they also had together, and I haven't talked to him about 7 years.
Have you ever done anything like this with any other kid?
No. No, I haven't.
Do you have an urge to do it now?
Never. You know?
Was there anything else going on in the household at the time you did this?
A lot of physical abuse, alcoholism, drug addiction, you know, with my parents.
And you're in recovery now?
Yeah.
And you're talking about this in the program?
No, I'm not. This is the first time I've ever talked about this.
You have a sponsor now, right?
Yes, I do.
I think you got to talk to him about it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm resistant. I've thought about that because I'm just about to go into step 4.
Yeah.
Which is where, you know, you kind of do an inventory.
Listen, that's 4 and 5 is where this has got to come out. You're as sick as your secrets, the aphorism goes. And
right.
If this has been a serious source of fuel for your disease. If it doesn't out, it's going to remain a source.
See, I'm just concerned about sharing it with my sponsor. He's got a daughter. And, you know, I don't want there to be problems there with me sharing this stuff with him.
In terms of what? Him not wanting you around his daughter?
Yeah.
Well, listen, he's going to react however he's going to react.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He's not going to not be your sponsor.
Right.
Okay. And you're clear that you don't have these urges anymore. This was some part of your disease.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wasn't using it that time, so I've never really been able to, like, equate it to part of my disease.
It's got to be sorted out, but I'm sure it does. I'm sure it is part of the disease process.
Okay.
Well, wait a minute, Drew. He was not using, but he could still have the alcoholic gene. But listen, you came from an abuse-filled environment.
Right.
And when that happens, sort of all bets are off. Do you know what I mean? Alcohol abuse and physical abuse. It's tough.
See, what happens is people do drugs and seek thrill to feel good or to feel better. And in your case, you were in this highly abusive, highly arousing situation. You needed to feel better. You hadn't yet found your way to drugs, but sex was an alternative to escape, and you were desperate for that, and pow, here was a victim.
Hold on, pow, that's the name of my pig.
Pig cow.
Pig cow, yeah, let's not call it pow.
And that's where you went, and naturally enough, as that disease process started operating, of course, you went to the drugs next, and off it went.
Right.
So, Steve, don't, look, what you did wasn't great by any stretch of the imagination. On the other hand, I'm sure you've been kicking your ass quite nicely for coming on 15 years, and you should probably give your ass a little break.
Okay.
Now, are you thinking about trying to contact her or do anything like that?
No, because if it got to anything like that, that'd be like in step 9, and it'd be something I'd deal with my sponsor. I'm not about to do anything about that yet.
There you go.
You know, I handle that stuff kind of as it comes.
Fantastic.
You know?
Do you know where she is?
You know, she's somewhere in the same city I'm in, but again, you know, I haven't had contact with her for 7 years, and I'm not, you know, step 9 goes along the lines of if it won't harm ourselves or anyone else.
How is she? Do you have any idea how she's doing?
No. You know, I really don't. The last thing I heard anything about her, you know, was about 2 or 3 years ago, and I heard she was having some mental issues, you know, but that's pretty common in my family, actually.
Right. All right, Steve, take care of yourself.
Right.
And when it becomes appropriate, then you cross the bridge or the step when you come to it.
Start writing about it.
All right, take care.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Wow. Yeah, I believed him. I mean, he didn't seem dangerous to me. It just seemed like he was 15 and freaked out.
Yeah, this is not his sexual orientation. It's not what arouses him. He just was sort of desperately looking for relief at that moment.
Yeah, and you know what? I understand the sort of profound instinct to F around when you're a 15 and sort of going out of your skull with hormones.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's ever okay to do this, but I don't think you have to condemn the guy to this is your life now, or this is a way of life for you.
Right.
Which is what you said like 15 minutes ago.
Right.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back. Everybody, that's the show.
There you go.
We're going to take a little extendo 22-hour break and back tomorrow night with a full charge on the batteries. Jack Osborne in here tomorrow night.
That'll be nice.
Yeah. I've watched, I think, every Osborne episode.
Hmm.
Including the one we were in, Drew.
Mm.
So we'll talk to Jack Osborne tomorrow night. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Okay, stop.
Oh, man. Mama,
babe, stop.
No. Hold on.
Stop!
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.